I wanted to bring it back to, because I often hear the argument is with affordable housing, let the free market work, let the free market decide. And there's two aspects to this I want to talk and ask you about. One is, there is actually, you know, a free market is one without any intervening aspects at all, right? There's absolutely no rigging or no other investment. It's just the consumer and the seller and nothing else. But our built environment is never an entirely free market, because whatever you decide, public investment is always involved. The taxpayers are going to be on the hook for the roads. The taxpayers are going to be on the hook for the services. This is why you can't build hospitals, you know, 10 hospitals in an area. The government has something to say about how many hospitals are built, because we need them to function and be profitable so that they exist, because we need that health care. There is a real need for people standing for the public sector, because we all benefit from things like, you know, accessible health care, roads that function, a functioning municipal budget. And so the free market doesn't really apply. And the biggest example of that is watching these developers write the legislation. That's no free market. You know, they're rigging the system.
No question.
And the other piece is, you know, it used to be that we would have people on the planning commission,
right,
who were in real estate or building, precisely not because they would rig the game for their friends, but because they knew the game, and they would stand for the community because they had the knowledge to protect the community from con artists, from scams. But what we have now are, we have this cronyism model where that knowledge is being used to serve, you know, the
foxes in charge of the hen house.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I can tell you by your husband's office was my dad's office for 40 years, right?
Yeah.
Over there at the corner, mm-hmm, of Fruitville and Shade. And when Fruitville was being expanded, our original office is under the old Fruitville, the new Fruitville Road. And so Dad went over, he bought this house, and wanted to get it rezoned, mm-hmm, because it was residential at that point. And mm-hmm, where your husband's office is was a field of pine trees.
Yeah.
And anyhow... and I just want to juxtapose the way things went then versus the way things went now.
Sure.
When you look at that county commission, the city commission meeting that was last week, the Downtown Condo Association, the CCNA, every neighborhood group essentially in the entire city showed up and spoke against this thing. And the only people that spoke for it were people with a direct financial profit tied to these changes.
Mm-hmm.
And there it was, Jen all by herself, and 4-1. Yes.
Yeah.
So when my dad was trying to have that property rezoned from residential to commercial to put his office there.
Fruitville and Shade.
Yes.
Yep.
What he did was he went up there and he went and spoke with all the neighbors and said, look, we're going to be here 9 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not college kids having keg parties all night or, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained to them that it was actually a less intensive use. When the commission meeting was there, all of the surrounding neighbors showed up and spoke on behalf of the proposal. And so it's the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Now the public's wishes are essentially meaningless.
Yeah.
And so there is a right and a wrong way to go about these things. And essentially, and the missing middle has several problems that need to be worked out. But I think aside from the missing middle...
What is the missing middle?
The missing middle is an area east of 301 between downtown and 12th Street. And what that is, and there's a guy named Tony Smith. I would ask you to consider bringing him on sometime.
Okay.
Now, he's a developer, and what they've proposed is these zoning changes there that will allow some more density and some area for some middle-income housing.
Residential.
Right.
So, I mean, because generally speaking, so missing middle can be a term used for land that is outside the downtown core, but still close enough to provide some housing for service workers, nurses, firemen, all of that, so that work is really accessible to them. It's still close, but it's not in the most expensive, desirable
area.
It's
not in downtown, but it's not in Northport.
Yeah, well, it's really close to downtown.
Correct.
Yeah, it's just outside the line.
But the concept over there, it's a trial. It's a relatively small area.
Okay.
And the way that this plan is, and like I said, there's some things that need to be worked out through the special exception process. There needs to be tweaking. It needs to be done in the public with public input. Mm-hmm. But I've spoken with Mr. Smith, and it's actually less profitable for him to do what he's doing than to just buy places and knock them down and replace them with single family housing. But what's happening is the gentrification of the neighborhood surrounding downtown. People are just not, so the bottom line is the affordable housing is, and this is his point, the affordable housing is rapidly disappearing anyway.
Yeah.
And he's looking for a better way to make this thing move forward. And I think it deserves to be vetted and heard out. But
so, Mike, what do people need to do? Because this preliminary vote just happened where they've approved a preliminary approval to allow increased density, but not really any affordable housing. They've put in changes, because we don't have time to really get into the guts of this. They've put in changes that are window dressing regarding affordable housing that actually can undermine the whole thing. So what do people need to do between now and this is going to the state for review, and if history's any indication, it's going to be rubber stamped. What's the next step for people to weigh in?
I think there's a couple of things, and you and I have discussed this. We need to get a petition drive going. And have the residents kind of voice their displeasure. I think, like your radio show does, it starts with education, and then it starts with public sentiment. Because honestly, there's two ways to affect positive change in your community. You can either do it with your vote on election day, or you can do it through a lawsuit in the courts. I think rather than drag this thing through some very expensive, time-consuming legislation, Jen needs one extra vote. Now, I think we all know Brody is kind of a lost cause. Mayor Arroyo is kind of a lost cause. And
well, Liz, I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, maybe Mayor Arroyo, go ahead.
Maybe he will.
Yeah. I hope all of them would not be a lost cause, but yeah.
I don't see Liz Alpert. I think she's a lost cause. I think that the best opportunity would be to talk to Kyle Batty.
I think Commissioner Batty would be receptive.
Well, I think he has a heart, and I think that if he was actually convinced to follow his heart and follow his parents' example, then I think that he could be brought around to the right way. I think he's the most likely.
Well, I think they're all on the record saying that they care about affordable housing.
Then they should absolutely be absolutely against.
So let's go for the whole enchilada. Right. Yeah.
But this is the antithesis of affordable housing.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, in my opinion, I think that Kyle is the best person to talk to about this.
So what do people, so people need to talk to the commissioners?
Absolutely. And they need to just let them know that this is going to be our issue. Because
there's an election coming up.
There's an election coming up. And I think that would be my number one when you see these folks going around campaigning, that would be my number one question. Are you going to reject this comprehensive plan amendment as proposed?
Because
if the answer is anything other than a strong yes, we're going to reject this, then I would reject them as a candidate.
That would be your single issue if you were living in the city.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. You're listening to The Detail on WSLR 96.5, LPFM in Sarasota, Florida, and WBPV 100.1 LPFM in Bradenton, Florida. Election Day, for the school board is actually August 23rd. That is primary day, but it is election day for our school board. And as you, if you're a listener to the show, you know that there have been some changes in voting legislation. You want to make sure that you're registered and you want to make your plan to vote. Actually, proactively decide when, where. To do that, go to votemanatee.com or sarasotavotes.com. You can check on your voter registration. You can take a look at the candidates. Qualifying is in mid-June, so the candidate list should be final by the middle of June. But, you know, let's be proactive. We can't complain if you're not involved, and voting is your power. So visit votemanatee.com and sarasotavotes.com. My guest today is Mike Cosentino. We've been talking about his editorial in the Sarasota Herald Tribune. It was published yesterday about the affordable housing being used as a cover for comp plan changes that actually will create a lot more traffic and ruin affordability. So there's real concern among city residents and about those comp plan changes, and we have an election coming up. So Mike, thank you for what you wrote and trying to and explaining something that can be pretty complex. But I know so many, you know, I think 95% of people in Sarasota really care about affordable housing, even if it's not a personal need for them and they have the resources to afford the more expensive housing. They care about their kids. Where's my son or daughter going to live after they're, you know, when they enter adulthood? I want them to come back to this community. Or they care about, you know, the people, their friends who are in service work, or their healthcare workers and fire teachers. These folks, we have to create a community that works for everybody.
I'd like to say one thing about that. And I think that, you know, you look at all of these beautiful new multi-million dollar condos that are springing up all over town. Now, I'm just going to go out a limb and guess that these people probably don't do their laundry. They probably don't do their own house cleaning.
Right.
They're probably not doing their landscaping. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, I think most people are fair. And the model that pops in my head, I don't know if you've ever, Cabbage Key down south, Cheeseburger in Paradise.
I didn't, I don't know about that.
It's a, Cabbage Key is just south of Boca Grande. It's a 100-acre island. They've got a lot of, it's just a, where Jimmy Buffett wrote Cheeseburger in Paradise.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Anyway, all of their cooks, their waitresses, their groundskeepers, they all live on the island because there's no bridges. It's a boat back and forth thing. And I think another parallel would be the cruise ship industry. Look at the cruise ship industry. They don't fly the help in and out. They all live on the ship. And so when you look at these beautiful buildings, and we are the number one retirement community in the nation or something, you see all this stuff on TV. When they build those condos, you're actually creating the need for all of these service workers. And I think in fairness, it's what I'm saying is every new building that gets built exacerbates the problem. And so I think step one is at least moving forward. First, we need to stop exacerbating the problem and break even. And so if you're going to build this building, whether it's contributing to a fund for affordable housing or making some sort of component that you're not exacerbating our problem, first we need to, it's just like triage after a after an earthquake. First, you have to stop the bleeding, right? And then you can go about maybe preventing bleeding in the future. But right now, we're just hemorrhaging, and everything that we build increases that hemorrhage. So we need to find a way to stop the hemorrhaging, stop the exacerbation of the continual getting worse of our affordable housing crisis. Then we can turn around and do it. But everything that's being proposed now is completely disingenuous. We do have tools, and government isn't a bad thing. Government is a tool, but we have to use that tool in the proper manner. And there are many people that know how, and I'm one of them. I'm one of many people that can, and John Thaxton is another. We need to actually use the tools at our disposal and create actual workforce housing and affordable housing that will fix the problem, not just window dressings that will exacerbate the problem.
Yeah, we really do need to do that. And we're a talented community, and I know that we can, if the political will exists, you know, we can do that. So Mike, I mean, we can keep talking about this, but I wanted to give you the opportunity. This has been, I think, for this country,
devastating.
Yeah, it's been a horrific week. Actually, 2 weeks. You know, it's the mass murder in Buffalo, New York, in a supermarket, deliberately targeting African American people, and then you've got 19 fourth graders that were slaughtered by an 18-year-old in Uvalde, Texas, who went out on his birthday and bought an arsenal. I mean, this 18-year-old bought an arsenal. And, you know, there's so much more we know about just even cognitive development, that, you know, the mature thinking, adult thinking really isn't fully in place until the mid-20s, you know, for young men. And we have an epidemic crisis in this country of young men who buy or get their hands on assault weapons and just murder little kids and older adults, people of color. I mean, there's all kinds of victims. And this doesn't happen anywhere else in the world to the extent that it does here. I mean, we are the outlier. We are the outlier. Are there mass shootings in other countries? Yes. At this pace, at this number, absolutely not. The United States is an outlier. So I'm just sensing there's a feeling now of this is unacceptable. How many more of these things have to happen? And what's really incredible, and I think it really goes to the idea of a bought government, is that this government is not representing what people want. The majority of Americans want gun safety policy. They want to prevent, you know, honor the Second Amendment. But it's not this license to do whatever you want. I mean, with freedom comes responsibility. And I'm asking you about this, Mike, because I know you know, you're a gun owner and have some thoughts to share. So,
well, I think that I can tell you with my personal experience. I mean, I grew up, you know, Lakewood Ranch was actually a ranch, you know.
It was Schrader Manatee Ranch.
It was the Schrader Manatee Ranch, yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my friends had a hunting camp out there. One of the
what
kids
did you hunt out
I
there?
Grew up there. Birds, game, you know, pigs.
Deer, pigs,
I can't shoot a deer. I actually now I can't.
You it's won't funny. Shoot Bambi.
I'm older now. I can't actually shoot anything, you know. But in my younger days, you know, we did hunting. So I grew up around guns and gun safety and things of that nature. And I can tell you that this, my personal experience, and I think people know, you know, I've been in litigation on Siesta Key for some time over this Beach Road thing. And there was one of the people that the county broke the law for was this hot-headed guy from Manatee County. And he attacked me in my truck. He threatened to kill my female attorney when she was sitting next to me in the truck. He threatened to kill me on several occasions. And this guy was a former national champion kickboxer and actually snuck up behind me on the beach one night. And it really kind of scared me to death. And at that point, I was like, you know what?
So I think most people never knew that this was something you were actually threatened.
My life was threatened on several occasions. And after the sneaking up behind me in the middle of the night, that kind of shook me up, you know?
Yeah.
And I actually, Mark Pazella is the former head of our SWAT team. And I said, you know, Mark, I'd like to look into
the local Sarasota SWAT
correct.
Team.
Okay. And I said, I don't know about this. I would want to be completely safe. And so I took his personal defense and training program, and I consider myself one to be one of the many responsible gun owners.